Friends, I bring grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you all pray with me once more, briefly? God, thank you for a day like today, where there's sunshine, how we can even see blue sky. And we praise you for the good things you give us. But Lord, we don't just praise you in times that are sunny and good. You teach us how to rejoice even in hardship. Lord, it's your patience and your mercy that come through and that produce mercy and patience in us. So when we fall short of that, forgive us. When we need that voice from outside us, Lord, your voice that speaks into our lives and remind us of what's true and what's good. Lord, help us to hear that today, to reflect on it, that your word, your truth, your love would produce fruit in us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, friends, as we continue thinking about this theme, longing for everlasting, right? Things in this world that don't last, we long for things that do. There are so many things that, and we named a few during the last time we gathered together. I was thinking about that and during this week, especially Wednesday and into the rest of the week, as we encountered smoke. My wife, Lisa, and I, we try to be in the habit of walking our dog in the morning, but sometimes it's easier to stay in bed because it's comfy and we're tired. And so despite us needing to get outside and move, and our dog especially needing to get outside and move, there we lie down. So sometimes our resolution to do good things does not last, right? And sometimes it's God gives us good excuses to stay in bed or to stay inside, like smoke. Because going outside and doing a walk that first morning there was smoke, came back inside. I was actually telling this with some other friends that came in today. I am not asthmatic, but I could feel my lungs burning a little bit, right? And thank God that did not last, right? And so it's just that reminder that even some very, very terrible things in this world, like a fire that decimates forests all over the place and endangers communities far and near, thank God that that does not last, right? It's for a season, but as quick as it comes, the grace of God moves it on and brings solution to it. I have no idea if those fires are out yet. My hunch would be not quite yet. I don't know about the percentage of containment, but I know that God has people that are working on it and getting after it, and I thank God for them too. So as we think about the things that last, both good and bad in this world, and are longing for something good that does last, as we long for something good that is truly everlasting, in light, we take that theme into our reading from today. Jesus continuing to teach in parables. Now, the purpose of what Jesus does in parables is to, in his own words, to make known things that have been kept a mystery from the foundation of the world. So these things are true things that God has not made known to people before, except now through the person of Jesus. And why God does that, I don't know, right? But in Jesus, he's making it known. At the time when Jesus brought these parables to light, and thank God that Matthew wrote and other gospel writers wrote these down to keep them passing on so that these mysteries can continue to be made known. And what does Jesus make known? What is foundational from the beginning of time and even before time that Jesus is making known? What the kingdom of God is like, right? And there are some ways we attempt to do this as humans, I think in good ways. We have doctrines we get after about this. I was listening to a podcast about this passage called, the name of the podcast is 30 Minutes in the New Testament. It goes by quicker than you think, especially if you speed up the rate of speech a little bit faster. That helps the time, even less than 30 minutes. But Eric Sorensen and Danielle Emery Price, they take you through this word, and there's some good reflection. Not everything I agree with, but I thought there were some good insights I wanted to share with you from that experience today. And I'll be borrowing some of their language, but this particular piece What struck me about what Jesus is getting after in this text, about the weeds and the wheat, right? He's talking about how in patience and pain, God works for your good, right? In patience and pain, God works for your good. Now, sometimes that's nice to hear, right? It's a short sentence, so sometimes if you repeat it enough, you can hold on to it maybe 5 minutes after you leave here. But on the drive home, there are other things that occupy our minds. I don't pretend to believe that people treasure my sermons and hold on to them much past the time I'm done speaking it, right? And yet, the Word of God endures even longer than that, and thank God it does. But because the truth of it is, in patience and pain, God works for your good. And so as we explore this text, so we're actually just going to take a look at four verses from our reading this morning, 27 through 30 in chapter 13, because I believe in these four verses and our time reflecting on them, it actually touches on everything else that Christ teaches and the explanation the disciples sought. And I hope you catch three things in our time in these texts. And they are a question, a quest, and a cue. A question, a quest, and a cue. And so as we go through these texts, let's start with a question in verse 27. You can read this along with me if you like. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" Right? And so Jesus does not begin teaching dogmatics, right? He does not begin to go through assertions and doctrine. Now, those have their place, or we use them to teach in God's church. We call something called the Book of Concord. If you were here last week, you heard us mention that in our chartering part of our liturgy. We use things called the Small Catechism, right? Teaching tools. Those are good and helpful statements about what we believe and why that matters. But Jesus here makes known these mysteries from the foundation of the world, not through dogmatics, but through story, right? And that's not a critique on dogmatics, right? They're important, they're helpful. But Jesus also knows that people learn through stories. Now, how do we know that's true? How many movies are there in existence today? How many books that tell stories, both fiction and nonfiction, are in existence today? Why are movies so popular? Why are books so popular? It's not just because they're written or directed or executed well. It's because we love stories. That's all right, right? It's good because we are a part of one right now. And hearing other stories, seeing other stories, reading other stories can help us make sense of the story we're living right now. And so it's through a story Jesus is making known this mystery from the foundation of the world, especially in terms of the patience and mercy of God. And this is what we see as Jesus begins. Right now, we're a little ways into this parable, this story already. Right, a master has a field. He had seed sown in his field. Right, he did the diligent thing. Right, he did the work, and while his men slept, his enemy came in behind him and sowed weeds. Now, what's interesting to note that I had never noted before was that the master was not asleep, right? His men were asleep, right? Because they need rest. Now, and we know that his reapers in this story are angels, as Jesus explains to us later. And so his reapers are sleeping, and that's fine, right? They get asleep. But the master does not sleep, right? And that tells us that God does not sleep, right? And even though in the account of creation we hear that God rested on the seventh day, it's not because he was so tired and exhausted he needed to. He rested on the seventh day. So in the rhythm of our lives, after 6 days of work, six 24-hour periods of your life and mine, we get a period of time that God designates for us to rest. Not so we get to do something to prove our obedience to God, but it's a gift he gives us to breathe, to rest, to enjoy the gifts he's given to us, whether that's teddy bears or something else, right? And so God does not need to sleep. In fact, God does not sleep, which means when the enemy came in behind him while his servants slept, just like in the parable, the master was aware of what was happening. God was aware from before the beginning of time, right? If God is eternal, no beginning, no end, that means he also knew everything that was going to happen. He knew Satan was going to tempt people. And he knew the people he created, were going to fail. We're going to fall for that temptation. And even though it's Satan's temptation, it's our sin, right? It's human choice that brought sin into the world. And now, why would God allow that? Truthfully, we have no idea, right? And anybody that tries to explain that is trying to explain the part of the mind of God that he has not revealed to us. Now, he may have his reasons, but we don't know them. And when we try to explain that God does, we're trying to attempt to explain part of the mind of God that we don't know. At best, we can guess. And that is not something Jesus reveals here, right? Jesus does not reveal why the master allowed the enemy to come in and sow seed behind him. What he does reveal is the heart of the master, despite the enemy working against him, right? And he also reveals the posture of his servants, right? Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? God, aren't you good? How can there be evil in your world? Can you hear that question and the question of the servants? Can you hear that? Why do bad things happen? Why does evil exist if God is good and all-powerful? How can that possibly be? Can you hear that question in this question, right? We don't get an answer why. We see that the master does not sleep. And in the master, we see that God does not sleep. We also see that the master is patient, way more patient than the servants, right? The servants want to get out there and take care of it, right? Which we'll get to in a moment. But the master is patient. The master allowed the enemy to sow the seeds. Again, why? We don't know. God allowed the devil to break his stuff, to tempt his creation, which means he also allowed humans to break his creation. And in that, the patience of God, as the patience of the master, we also see then, if this was part of the plan, that also means that Jesus was always part of the plan. Jesus was not the ripcord, the emergency cord that God pulled just in case we messed up. God knew exactly what he was doing, even though it boggles our mind and it defies our sense of justice and goodness. God knows what he's doing. And he knows, and so he knew that Jesus would always need to come for you and me. And so, in the patience of the master, we see the patience of God. God is patient. And in patience, God gives mercy, right? God gives mercy because God is mercy. You ever want to know where mercy comes from? It comes from God, right? He doesn't just give it. He's the fountain of it. And in Lamentations 3, the prophet there talks about, and Lamentations is just a book. Like, if you ever want somebody in the Bible to commiserate with you in your hardship, read Lamentations. It's super sad. It's a downer, for sure. But if you ever need hope in the midst of feeling overwhelmed by everything, Lamentations 3, right? Where 3:23 says, the mercies of God are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. So in the midst of all of that loss, all of that hardship, everything that Jewish prophet is articulating, he articulates the mercy and faithfulness of God. And that doesn't discount the accusations we have of God. We read those accusations in Psalms too. God is here to receive all of it. And at the end of almost every one of those Psalms, the psalmist resolves by articulating his hope that is still somehow in God. Can you relate to that? In patience, God gives mercy. Mercy for those who do evil. Mercy for the weeds is also mercy for the wheat. Mercy for those who are evil now also means mercy for you. Let's unpack that. In the next verses here, a quest. Verses 28 and 29. Let's read this together. He said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them." All right? You can see that patience and mercy of God. All right, so in this story, the master knows that by destroying the weeds, they destroy the wheat. Why is that? Because weeds, at least these kinds of weeds, when they grow, as they're growing, they're indistinguishable from the wheat. It's only at the harvest time that you see what they truly are. All right? Now, how can you tell if you're a weed person or a wheat person? Much like the servants in this parable who can't tell weeds from wheat, there isn't really a way for you to look at yourself and know. How terrible is that? Why would God do that? To show us that we too are sinners, which is why it's really, really important that God has mercy on evildoers, that God has mercy on the weeds. Because at one time, if you were a follower of Jesus now, at one time you were a weed. And even though you may be a follower of Jesus now, you still have some weed-like behavior, right? The nature of our weediness, the nature of sin, does not go away just because we follow Jesus. Jesus knows this as he is teaching this parable. Right? God redeems you from your sin. Right? He changes how God sees you, but that doesn't mean you stop sinning in this life, unfortunately. And God does this so that he can have mercy on everyone, that he can have mercy on everything. He sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He sends the sun on the righteous and the unrighteous. He sends wind to clear smoke from the righteous and the unrighteous. God does not treat anyone as their sins deserve. And yet there is a consequence. There are consequences for our sin. So in this story, the master knows that by destroying the weeds, they'll actually destroy the wheat too. And if not because they can't tell them apart, but also by the act of removing the weeds, that the perspective of the wheat, that seems harsh to the wheat. The judgment of God when it comes on a person can seem harsh to us as fellow humans. There are times as God acts and judges, that as God does his work in the world, this sometimes we call it the alien, the foreign work of God, the work that does not seem merciful or just or loving. It can challenge our faith. It makes us question God and his goodness. That's okay. Like, God can handle that. But that's why God doesn't fully remove evil or just zap one person at a time, because if he did that, that would challenge our sense of justice. And so God defies our sense of justice because he is, as much as he is mercy, he is also just. And so God acts in his time, in his justice, for the sake of everyone. weeds and wheat. So in this life, God knows that letting angels or men root out and get rid of evil, if he left that in our hands, we would actually destroy the good because we can't tell them apart. Right? And, right, the angels in the story, the reapers, right, that articulate our heart, right, our quest to purify ourselves, to purify God's church by being enough. Good enough, righteous enough. That is not who God is calling you to be. That is not what he's calling you to do. You are not in charge of the harvest. What does God call you to do? We'll get to that in the next point. But our solution, your solution, the thing that makes sense to us is just get rid of the evil, right? If we know what evil is, we can just get rid of it, and then we'll be done with it, and then life will be good. Then life will be great. Then we'll be in heaven, right? Except we can't get rid of it. If we could have, we would have already. The problem is every wheat, every good person is also a weed. And getting rid of evil and suffering, we too, who are evil, must be uprooted, separated, and destroyed. So evil is allowed to endure for now, so that you too can endure. Putting ourselves in the place of God destroys everything and everyone. And you've seen this in other places before, when people attempt to do the harvest work of God, they end up destroying their own lives. They end up destroying fellowship of God's people. They bring more harm than good when they try to purify what God allows to endure. When God does the work, good endures. Right? And that's our cue. So let's explore this cue in verse 30. Read this with me. Let both grow together until the harvest. So, if I'm a weed, how do I get to be wheat? If I'm bad, how do I get to be good? If there's a way to escape separation, suffering, and destruction, what can I do to be good? Nothing, which is the hardest answer of all, right? Humans, we want something to do. We want skin in the game. We want to participate. We want to be part of it. And God's like, you can't because you'll ruin it, which is hard to hear, but it's also true, right? God turns weeds into wheat. And that's not necessarily in this parable, right? But it is what happens in God's kingdom, right? So the kingdom of God allows things that nobody else would allow to endure for the sake of weeds becoming weak. Wheat, for the sake of the wheat not being uprooted too early and being crushed, right? God turns weeds into wheat. And what the enemy intends for harm and destruction, God brings something else out of it. God brings transformation. God brings life. God brings righteousness. He brings the good. He brings the power, the glory in Jesus. In Jesus, God transforms weeds into wheat. He transforms dead people into living ones, crushed people into hopeful ones. He transforms evil people into good ones. He is good, and he is your good for the good of all. His good is your good for the good of all. Right? All right, so that's how you get to be wheat, in Jesus. He's the one that transforms us. Nothing else, nobody else, no other efforts. Christ alone. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, then you might be saying, well, I believe in Jesus. What do I do until the harvest then? Right? I'm already wheat. I'm good, right? Grow. If you are wheat, if you are in Christ already, God has planted you to grow and bear fruit until the harvest, right? Grow in patience. Grow in mercy. Grow in the grace through the faith God gives you in Christ. What do we mean by that, right? We mean this, that God does not call you to harvest. God does not call you to be on a quest to purify his field, to purify his church. That's what he does. God is the one that makes people holy. God is the one that makes sinners into saints. That's not you. Now, we do want to hold onto God's word and truly explain what it means. Right? That's why we have things like doctrine. But doctrine is not what saves us. Doctrine is not what transforms us. Jesus transforms us. Him alone. So use the doctrine to help you grow in patience and mercy, and helping you understand the story that Jesus is telling, and to help you understand the story you're living in, but don't get distracted by it. It's a tool, but it is not the word. And so, like we have seen in other times and other places through other efforts, when we try to harvest the way God does, we break things and people. He does not call, or he does call you to sow seeds. Right? What does that mean? To share faith, to share what God is giving you. His word, Christ, faith, grace, patience, mercy. Learn how to articulate these things. Learn how to tell these stories to your friends, your neighbors, your family, all the different people where you live, work, learn, and play. And it's this word that God uses to crush and to heal, to crush our pride, to crush our attempts to take over what we think God is getting wrong, and to heal our hearts so that what he is doing in us endures. God invites us, we don't need to assist God in the crushing or the purifying. Instead, God invites us to the planting, the caring, the growing of love between neighbors, of faith between family, of hope between friends. The thing we want to see happen in our midst, in our neighborhoods, in Ann Arbor and beyond, is for people to know and believe that they are seen, heard, and loved by God. These are not platitudes or pipe dreams. They are the actions of God in Scripture and in real life, in the Word and in the world. So in patience and pain, God works for your good. Today you're called to believe that God's work equals your good, that you get to stop trying to be good. And if you've given up on being good, that God's work awakens you to a new reality, that in Christ you are good. In God's sight, because of Jesus, because of his death and resurrection, by the faith he's given you, you are his child. In Christ, you are good. You're free from trying and from hopeless resignation. You're free to love and hope again. You're free to live in peace, even in the midst of war and violence. And we're not ignoring those things, but we're not defying them. We're not placing our trust in the resolution of those things. You're coming to believe that if God transforms sinners like you and me, he can transform anyone. He can transform anything. He can bring good out of any evil situation, no matter who sowed the evil. God will bring ultimate resolution over everything evil and broken, including you and me and the other people and situations weighing on our minds. So stop trying to harvest now. Now is the time to sow. Now is the time to grow. There is wheat, there are weeds, and God works for your good. Grow in his patience and mercy until that harvest. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for your mercy and patience to give us a moment to breathe together, to relax together, hopefully to rest a little bit together, to reflect on the love you articulate through your Son. And yes, that love that it tells us the truth about sin and how broken we are, but also tells us the truth about your love and your mercy and patience that transforms us from being things sown in evil to people redeemed for your good, for our good and for the good of the world. Lord, help us to believe this and follow you into wherever you may take us today and in the days to come. Amen.